Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You know, we're talking about this NBA season tournament idea, and John Brandio one tweets in, basically it's the NBA's version of a bowl game. Participants get a prize and bragging rights, but it will still come down to who wins the championship at the end of the year. If you're already an NBA fan, you will count it, but if you're not, you won't. I mean, sure, I guess that's true until we decide it isn't. You know? That's the thing. We will determine how much it matters. None of these things actually matter. Even the championship. And I'm not saying it would ever. Of course, it won't usurp the championship. But again, they care about it in soccer, those tournaments. So why wouldn't they theoretically care about it in basketball if we care about it? You know, the Dallas Mavericks right now have one of the highest offensive ratings in, like, NBA history. Right? So we're not talking about that. We don't care. If all of a sudden the Dallas Mavericks were to go on a run and win that tournament, maybe we would. And then maybe, like, it starts to factor in how we evaluate guys. All right, they've got an NBA championship, an MVP, 4 All-Star appearances, and an NBA Invitational win, whatever you want to call it. Again, the importance is what we give it. The significance is what we give it. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to Paul in Las Vegas. Paul, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Robin. Good morning.
Morning.
Another great show. Love listening to you.
Thank you.
Here's where I'm coming from. Experienced. I've been in bookmaking for 30 years. Please, no more pro basketball. Please. It's the worst product out there. It's making us richer, no doubt about it. Can't watch it for a couple of reasons. They don't try for about 80% of the game. They're high. About half the guys are. They don't even test for pot. Can you imagine they don't even test for pot?
Well, they do test for pot. But they do. It might be easy to get around or whatever, but they do. Baseball is now the one league that isn't going to be testing for marijuana. Personally, if it's up to me, no league would test for it. So
now let me explain to you how 90% of the plays go in hoops. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Guy scores a basket. You take it out from underneath the basket. You come down the court. You got some 7-foot, 280-pound guy setting moving picks the whole way down. Then you get down to the top of the key. Guys, it's like the Washington Generals and the Harlem Globetrotters running plays at the top of the key. 7-foot behemoth setting moving picks that I wish the Bears had a tackle like that they could use. Then you got a professional, like you said, 250, 400 of the best shooters in the world shooting open three-pointers. I don't consider that entertainment. I just don't. I'd rather go see an amateur comedian for an hour.
Well, I mean, sure. But that's a subjective thing. I mean, to me, it's the best sport to watch, period, by a mile. So I think it's the best product. So, you know, like, that's a subjective opinion.
They're the best athletes, but they're controlling their content. The street books won't even take bets anymore because they know that they're messing with the over-unders. I mean, it's crazy. It's gotten out of control. It's a terrible product. This is not an anomaly with the viewership going down. It's not fun to watch.
I think it is an anomaly. I mean, I think the Lakers-Bucks game kind of showed that. That was the highest-rated regular season game in like 2 years outside of Lakers-Clippers to open the season. I think what you're looking at is Zion was hurt and the Pelicans were on 100 national TV games. You know, the NBA was like, oh, we got Zion coming. Let's schedule the Pelicans 100 times on national TV. Zion's out. The Pelicans are awful. The Warriors have been a team that people cared about, like had a feeling about. Whether you loved them, you hated them, it's not like they were boring. Would anyone raise your hand if you used to consider the Warriors boring? Now Kevin Durant's gone, Steph Curry's gone, Klay Thompson's gone. The Warriors are irrelevant, and they're on national TV 100 times. LeBron James was in that prime East Coast 8 p.m. time slot for so long. He plays on the West Coast. I don't think it's a coincidence the game I just referenced that had the big ratings was Milwaukee and L.A. at 8 o'clock. And then the Clippers-Rockets game was up after it because it had a good lead-in. You know, so I do think that stuff's an anomaly. I bet you the playoffs will be up or at least flat. I bet you Christmas Day, the Lakers-Clippers game will be up, if not up a lot. So I do think some of that stuff is an anomaly. At least to the degree. Obviously, the NBA feels like it has some things to fix, or else this tournament idea wouldn't come into play. But that's, I think, to just fix a problem that's a function of a long season. I mean, baseball has the same deal. And the All-Star game is sort of lost its appeal to a certain extent, I think, because we see these guys all the time everywhere now. Back in the day, you didn't. Joseph Alviano tweets, name five out of the top 20 players that would participate. Not a chance. Owners going to risk a $30 million player getting hurt? Not likely. Well, I'll tell you who's going to participate. Everyone. It's not going to be an optional thing. It's going to be collectively bargained. Everyone's going to participate in this tournament. It's not a volunteer basis. They're going to have a discussion with the players union, and they're going to decide what the parameters are, and then they're going to do it. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Brady in Windsor, Ontario. Brady, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, good morning, Robin. Great show as always. And happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas to everybody. And the more I think of this tournament, I love it because, you know, for the first part of the season, right from the outset until Christmas, there are too many blah or meaningless games. Now, you know these guys are really super competitive anyways, and they're betting, you know, money that would be you know, quite a bit to us, but it's meaningless to them. And so if you incentivize this with $1 million, you know, you'd have somebody, well, you'd have Antetokounmpo, Blamey playing Durant, or you'd have Curry versus Doncic. Can you imagine how they would want to win just for pride's sake? I mean, you know, of course, the money would make them even want to play more all out, but, you know, nobody would want to lose in this case because, you know, their pride would be on the line. So, yeah, I'm all for this proposed tournament. And thanks for putting me on, Robin.
No, I appreciate the time. And yeah, I mean, like, again, these guys are I kind of take a umbrage. I think the last caller said they don't care, don't try. I don't think that's true at all. I mean, and I think it's unfair to some of the best athletes in the world or the best athletes in the world. Are there guys who don't care as much as other guys? Yes, just like there are people at your job who don't care as much. But for the most part, I think you have people who care a whole lot. They've worked their whole lives to get in this spot. It's not easy to get there. You have guys who are just talented and never really maximize their talent. But you can't tell me, you know, look at how much better Giannis has gotten over the last few years. Look at LeBron in year 17. You know, he added so much to his repertoire to extend his career. So on and so forth down the line. The things these guys can do, you know, so I almost take it a little personally as a fan of the product because I feel like the NBA is the only sport that gets that. And I do think, you know, that there's been some, you know, whether with each individual, I think there are some unconscious or conscious racial stereotypes that come into that, where you'll hear, oh, I always try so much harder in college. That always puts up my antenna and the radar goes off a little bit like, oh, word? You know, the speed of the college game to the NBA game is just night and day. It's basically a different sport. And so it's not about that. It's about the fact that there's 82 games. So even myself, like I said, as a huge fan, why would I care extra? I mean, I would watch if I'm sitting there. I'll watch some of those games. But why does it matter that the Raptors beat the Wizards last night? Why does it matter that the Celtics beat the Pistons last night? Why does it matter that the Mavericks beat the 76ers last night? It really doesn't. You know, even when you're a fan of a team, I started rooting for the Brooklyn Nets so I'd have a team to root for with my kids a year ago. They've been playing well lately. I was watching their game the other night with the Spurs. They lost. Did I feel upset about it? Not really. You know, they've won more games than they probably should considering their current roster situation and the guys that are injured. And I knew, all right, it's one game. You know, they'll get the next one. They got Atlanta. They'll win that game. And they'll be three games over 500. They're currently seeded seventh in the playoffs. They could move up. They're going to have to do a lot of work to move up, but it's possible. So they need to get on a roll. But they're not going to lose that footing either. So the stakes just aren't there. But if they could win a tournament right now, well, yeah, then I'd be more into it, that game, if that game was part of the tournament. I just mentioned the Mavericks' offensive rating is 116.2 at the moment. That might be the highest of all time. And I don't think anybody's ever said it, a word about it. Said a word about it. And all of a sudden, if we were watching the Mavericks and they were playing against whomever in that tournament, then maybe we would. Right? Maybe we would notice and go, oh, wow, look at what the Mavericks are doing. Let's go to Nate in Pennsylvania. Nate, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Nate?
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, this is just the best comparison I can make, all right? Last year, I'm an Orioles fan. I went down and watched an Orioles game. They played the Yankees, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles lost, all right? I was not even as nearly as upset as I was when Penn State lost to Minnesota this week. I was upset the whole week. And the reason being is because that was basically it for Penn State. You know what I mean? That was it. Their season was, they were not going to make the playoffs. And the Orioles, I mean, they were going to make the playoffs anyways, but it's 162 games. Now, they're trying to incentivize the players. They're trying to make it more exciting for the fans. In my mind, there's only one thing you can actually do to get people to care about the regular season, is you got to go to at least 72 games, at least 72, and eight teams that make the playoffs, more than 50% of the teams that make the playoffs. That's stupid. Who cares? You know what I mean? I mean, if your team doesn't make the playoffs in the NBA, they weren't going to do anything anyway, you know? And even if they are the eighth, seventh, or sixth seed most times, they're still, you know, it's just the only way you're going to do it is shorten the season and shorten how many teams make the playoffs.
I understand what you're saying. I think they are going to shorten the season a little bit as a portion of this. But again, that's the goal here, is to make these games that are played now not feel meaningless. So how do we attach meaning to it? Well, we weren't just going to magically do it, right? We weren't just going to sit here and go, as a collective, we have bestowed meaning upon these games. So they're trying to create it by putting a tournament out there. We'll see if it works, but I actually kind of like the idea. All right, let's visit the big story from earlier this week coming up next. Drew Brees and what he did, breaking the all-time touchdown record. Where does Drew Brees rank all the time? Because it feels like we only honor that guy when he does something like that. You know, how often does Drew Brees come up in the real conversations? Does that let you know what people actually think about him? What's his place? 855-212-4227. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Time to get into the Drew Brees dilemma. You could do a term paper on this, a thesis on Drew Brees and what people really think about him. Because you ever notice this? Drew Brees will do something statistically that makes everybody go, Drew Brees is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And then when he doesn't do that statistical thing and you're having the conversations about the greatest quarterbacks of all time, no one says Drew Brees. You notice that? Am I wrong? Anthony, am I wrong in that?
No, I completely agree.
Yeah, so it's like statistical achievement, Brees! What a quarterback! Non-statistical achievement, just who are the greatest quarterbacks of all time? Well, you got to start with Peyton Manning. And Tom Brady is number one. So in the next class, it's Peyton Manning, of course. And, Aaron Rodgers might be the best I've seen, but I don't know if he has the credentials that the other guys have. And, of course, who could forget Joe Montana? I mean, when we were talking about Brady, I mean, Montana was Brady before Brady. Marino is the best who doesn't have a Super Bowl. I mean, some of these new guys are amazing, too. I mean, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, before their careers are done, they may be on this list. What about Drew Brees? You didn't... Ah, well, I forgot about Drew Brees. Oh, my goodness. He's somewhere. We'll put Drew Brees somewhere. That's the way it generally works. I don't know why that was the voice for it, but it felt good. So, Drew Brees passes Brady most touchdowns ever. And everybody goes, woohoo, Brees. And I look at the stats, right? And if you look at the stats, he actually beats Brady and Manning in, like, everything. In everything. Completion percentage, yards, touchdowns. There's only one place he falls short, and that's the winning. And we know quarterback is not an individual thing. Winning isn't, at least. Quarterback is, but, you know, it's part of a team. Winning is an individual statistic. And also, it's not like Drew Brees is a loser. Obviously, he's won a lot of games, including a Super Bowl. But maybe what happened last year in the NFC Championship game screwed Drew Brees more than anybody else. Because Brees would have had a chance for a second Super Bowl there. And instead, he didn't. Because I wonder what a second Super Bowl would do for Brees. You know, put him on the same level as Manning, and Manning really won that second one where he wasn't the same player, but he got it nonetheless. I wonder how that would work for him. Because if you factor in the playoffs, of course, Brady leads in all those categories, and Brees does not. And I guess there was a certain thing about Peyton Manning where you watched Peyton Manning and you felt like his team was going to win. More often than not. I don't know if Drew Brees gives you that same factor. And is that the difference? Because by every statistical measure, again, he should be right in those conversations. I understand that we sort of put Tom Brady on one level because of career achievements, and they're impossible to ignore at this point to go with a really good statistical profile. But Peyton Manning was a one-man team there for a long time. I mean, that's not fair, a one-man team, but he was the figurehead of that team. You know, it wasn't Brady Belichick. It wasn't the two guys. It was just Manning. And every year you look at it, it was 13-3 and 12-4, 12-4, 14-2, 12-4, 12-4, 14-2, 13-3, 13-3, everywhere he went. And I don't know if I feel the same about Brees in that way. Now, maybe I'm missing stuff about the construct of the rest of the team. Because if you just look statistically, Drew Brees has more touchdowns. Drew Brees has thrown for more yards. Drew Brees has a higher completion percentage. Does Drew Brees belong in the discussion of the great QBs of all time? 855-212-4227. More specifically, you know, is Drew Brees on the same level as Peyton Manning? Better? Worse? 855-212-4227. Let's go to Andre in Jackson, Mississippi. Andre, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. Andre, my mom is actually from Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Okay. How you doing, Robin?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Man, I'm not a Saints fan, but I look at Drew Brees' situation. I got to put him in the top three. The things the guy is doing at 40 years old, I mean, you got to give him credit for something. Think about this. A second-round draft pick. San Diego didn't want him. Nick Saban took a flyer on him. And then he took a chance to go to New Orleans when New Orleans wasn't known for winning. And the numbers he's putting up, I mean, how can you not put him in the top three? I'm looking at all the other quarterbacks. They like to hype up Eli Manning. This guy hasn't done anything.
Well, so, I mean, he has two Super Bowls.
Okay, he got three Super Bowls. He got two Super Bowls, three division championships, and they put him in the Hall of Fame. So why not Drew Brees being in the top three?
Well, Drew Brees is clearly going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, it's just a question of – so, I mean, if you're saying a top three, what is your top three then?
It's Tom Brady,
uh-huh.
Joe Montana, Drew Brees.
So you're saying Drew Brees is better than Peyton Manning?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would take Drew Brees right now over Peyton Manning. Did you see the last 4 years of Peyton Manning's career? It was not good. And we don't know when Drew Brees is going to retire.
Well, I mean, I mean, in fairness to Peyton Manning, he did have a really bad neck injury, probably treated it with a little HGH, and then came back and extended his career just a bit. But that's really the root of the question, if we're being honest, right? If, like, you're breaking it down, I could ask you where Drew Brees belongs on the list. The real question is, do you think Drew Brees is better than Peyton Manning? Because I'm not going to get people to say he's better than Tom Brady. Maybe some. Maybe a few out there, but it's going to be hard. Again, Brady's resume is very long. It keeps scrolling down. The Patriots are cheaters. That has to factor in a little bit. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Is Drew Brees better than Peyton Manning? As simple as that. Is he better than Peyton Manning? I say no. I've never watched Drew Brees and felt the same way that I did watching Peyton Manning, where it took a lot. It took Tom Brady and the Patriots to beat Peyton Manning, and he beat everybody else. Drew Brees, I don't feel that same intimidation factor for it.
I would also say the five MVPs for Peyton Manning really stand out.
Yeah.
Brees, zero.
And now, is that a problem with the voters? Is that a function of the league changing and Brees airing it out so much to add up the stats? I don't know. But statistically, he's got more passing yards, got more touchdowns, got a better completion percentage. I still don't think Drew Brees is better than Peyton Manning.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Da-da-da-da-da. Where do you rank Drew Brees above Peyton Manning or not? 855-212-4227. I mean, that's the easy question. Nobody's putting him over Tom Brady. But it does feel like, as I was doing before, when there's a statistical achievement, it's like, oh, Drew Brees is one of the greats. But when there's not a statistical achievement and you're discussing the greats, nobody mentions Drew Brees. Let's go to Nick in Louisiana. Nick, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just headed to work, and I hear this blasphemy of people don't consider or think of Drew Brees outside of his when he makes a huge achievement. Come on. Everybody puts Drew Brees at least in their top five.
I don't know about that.
Top three, though.
I think people. Three. I could easily hear people go: Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Brett Favre, and you know,
who
Aaron Rodgers.
Putting Peyton Manning ahead of Joe Montana, though. You can put Tom Brady.
Forget the order. Just listing those guys. I mean, there are arguments for Peyton Manning.
But Drew Brees has outplayed him in every stat imaginable. And he beat him head-to-head in a Super Bowl. And Drew Brees most likely would at least have one more Super Bowl, if not Rob, 2 years in a row in the playoffs.
I did say before, I don't know if you heard that part, that perhaps no one was screwed more by that call or non-call last year than Drew Brees, because had the Saints won that Super Bowl, then people would because I think one more Super Bowl would do a lot to end what I was just talking about, if he were to get that one more.
I agree, but people still put him in, like, when you're talking about the greatest quarterbacks of all time, I don't think he gets forgotten. I mean, he owns almost every stat. The only thing that's missing, like you said, is his playoffs, but he's been destroyed by having multiple times the worst defense in the history of the NFL. Like, two or three times the Saints defense has broken the record for the worst defense yardage-wise.
Which probably factors in, but it is part of the conversation, you know, the fact that basically Peyton Manning has played twice as many playoff games as he has, and Tom Brady has played, what, I mean, almost three times as many playoff games as he has.
Yeah, of course Tom Brady, but Peyton Manning, I just don't see it. Just because he's played more playoff games, it doesn't mean he's been really if you just go off the eye test, has he really been that much better in the playoffs? No, not really.
No, and that was the knock on Peyton Manning was his playoff performance, but his regular seasons were so dominant where, you know, I don't know. I felt, let's just put it this way. You put Peyton Manning on any team, I feel like he is elevating said team more than Drew Brees on any team. That's just my feeling on it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the stats say enough. Again, I mentioned it. He's got more touchdown passes, better completion percentage, more yards. Brees does. And maybe another Super Bowl would change that. I'm not sure. But that's the way I feel about it. Let's go to Brad in Birmingham, Alabama. Brad, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Brad?
Hey, Robin. Enjoy your show, man. Just keep up the good work, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, but hey, just my two cents on this is, first of all, you do look at the head-to-head because, you know, Brees did beat Peyton Manning in a Super Bowl when they had a chance to go head-to-head mm-hmm. with the two best teams from the respective divisions. And then, second of all, I like to think if you take a football player and put him on a different team, I actually think Brees is better than Brady for the simple fact that had he been with Belichick all these years, those two Super Bowls that, you know, the guy up in New York got, I think he would have won those and he would have.
You know, that's like, always the ultimate dilemma with Tom Brady. It's always hard because as much as we all say he's the greatest of all time, I think we all have that sliver of doubt, right? Like we all have that.
Yeah.
But would he really, if he didn't have the footage of all the other teams' plays, you know, in-house from the secret
right.
filming. And, no. But if he didn't have Belichick and all that stuff, would he really be the same player?
Well, I mean, think about putting Brady with the San Diego Chargers and with the New Orleans Saints. He don't have close to the career that Brees has had. And I honestly don't think he would have one Super Bowl. But yet you take Brees and you stick him on any team. Because, see, my list is totally different. I've got Brees number one, period. He's the best that's ever played. And then I've got it Brady coming in behind with the asterisk of being with Belichick. Then I've got Montana. And then I've got Dan Marino. He, if he had ever been on a good team, he's the best pure passer to ever play in the NFL, period.
I mean, look, we all got our
look at it relative to where they end up playing.
We all got our own list. Your point on Brady is taken. I mean, I'm taking Brady. I'm taking Manning. You know, there's other guys, too. And Russell Wilson's somebody who's sneakily, I think, working his way into these conversations, too. When you're just talking about a winner and somebody that can carry an entire team. You know, the newer guys don't have much of the track record. That's why I'm leaving them out. I mean, I've heard plenty of people talk about Aaron Rodgers, obviously, and what he's done. But I think Russell Wilson's working his way into these conversations. He'll never have that statistical profile that those guys have, but he does it in different ways. But, yeah, that Brady aspect is a part of any conversation at some point you get to it. You go, well, what about Matt Cassel and Jimmy Garoppolo and him having Belichick and deflating football? I'm just going to make all this. I got to get to that at some point in the show because nobody cares that the Patriots, you know, may have cheated again. Even if it was like a minor cheating infraction, I do find it noteworthy that nobody seems to care. They're just like, I mean, that's what they do. I'll save it. Carl in Chicago. Carl, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Carl?
What's going on, Robin? Can I ask you a quick question? You're into hip hop music. I'm born in 1981. You're into hip hop music?
I am into hip hop music and also born in 1981.
All right, can I spit a quick little four bars that you might relate to?
Okay.
With your permission?
Go ahead.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All the QBs, may they rest in heaven. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on, Robin, let's get some.
There you go.
Now, so I got my list. Robin, I want you to listen to me carefully.
All right.
I'm LL Cool J. I'm about to shut this cannabis down.
All right. Second round knockout?
Second round knockout. I got Mike Tyson saying, yo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, LL, I got that, you know, you cannabis. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. I feel you, homie. I got you. So check this out. I got my own podcast going on. I do my own thing. But this is what's happening, all right?
Uh-huh.
We got a top five of the most accomplished quarterbacks of all time, and then there's a separate list of the most talented. Let me give you my most talented list of all time. It's top five. Number one is Manning, Peyton Manning. Number two, Joe Montana. Number three, John Elway. Number four, Dan Marino. Number five, Brett Favre. Number six is Drew Brees. All right, that's the most talented quarterbacks of all time. Now, when I come to the most accomplished list, Tom Brady is number one. Joe Montana is number two. Drew Brees is number three. Peyton Manning, number four. John Elway, number five. Do you see the difference between the most talented quarterbacks of all time and the most accomplished quarterbacks of all time? I just dropped the mic on you. That's a first-round knockout. Holla at your boy, Robin. 1981, Red Man, Method Man, Wu-Tang Clan all day. Holla at your boy. What you got to say about that?
Well, I'm not sure what to say. I don't know how to like sum that up with one thought. I will say, okay, hold on a second. The most talented, I understand the distinction between accomplished and talented, and that's why everybody would have Tom Brady on the most accomplished list. I'm not sure what it has to do with Method Man and Red Man, but the most talented list I actually would change. I mean, when you're talking about the most talented list, I think that's when you start bringing in Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and guys like that. I mean, those guys are as talented as anybody. Drew Brees is an interesting one because part of what he gets credit for is overcoming, right? He's not as tall. He wasn't, you know, the prospect and all that. Yet he still put up all the statistical numbers. The question is, do people truly believe what they say? You know, do you believe if Drew Brees was the quarterback of the Patriots, they would have the same success that they've had? Do you believe if Drew Brees was the quarterback of the Colts all those years Manning was, they would have had the same success that they had? Do you believe if Peyton Manning was the quarterback of the Saints now, that they would be worse? Those are the questions you have to ask yourself. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Steve in Illinois. Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on, brother?
What up?
My top five quarterbacks all time is a little different than yours.
Okay.
And I am also an 81 baby. I would have to go Joe Montana first because he was just, I mean, you can't beat it.
Why is Joe Montana still over Brady in your mind?
Because Joe Montana was, what, 4-for-4 in Super Bowls?
But is 4-for-4 being better than six of nine?
The only problem I have with
I'd rather
Brady
be 6 of 9 than 4-for-4, personally.
Yeah, but all the drama around the Patriots and around Brady, he drops awfully far for me.
Okay, that's fair. Look, that can factor in. I want to get to that. Hopefully, I have time to get to that.
You never once heard an issue with Joe Montana and the 49ers like you've heard with the Patriots and Brady.
Anyway, fair.
Back to my list. So you got Montana first. You got probably Peyton Manning second. I'm going to go with either Drew Brees third, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre because I love them both, going to fourth. And then I would have to say Dan Marino fifth.
Okay.
The only reason Dan Marino's fifth is because he never won a Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he was one of the greatest passers of all time, but.
Do you believe that Dan Marino was better than those guys? Then put him above him. You know, you could just say, I don't care that he didn't win a Super Bowl. To me, he's better.
That's true.
You could if you want.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how confident you are in yourself.
But those are like the five that I'm putting in there. You can rearrange them how you want. But
sure. I mean, look, I mean, I think that's kind of, is Drew Brees closer to five or is he closer to three, right? Like, that's kind of the question. Is Drew Brees somewhere between five? Because I think everybody would say he's a top 10 quarterback probably at this point. But is he somewhere between 5 and 10 or is he closer to the top three? That's really the question. Randy in Columbia, South Carolina. Randy, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
How's it going, Robin?
Good, man. How are you?
All right. I'm looking at the talk between Brees and Manning. I think just Manning has more on his resume than Brees. Manning has five MVPs. I remember the one season where Manning, when he was with the Colts, he went like they went like four or five games without punting. I mean, it's Peyton Manning has did more memorable stuff than Drew Brees, in my opinion.
I agree. I'm with you. I never felt the way about Drew Brees that I did about Peyton Manning. And, you know, I was one of the people who hated on Peyton Manning in crunch time. But I also knew, you know, in that sense, how much of a monster he was to even have to question his ability at that point in time. Because he was dominant. He was a one-man offense. You know, in basketball, I see the LeBron James offense. Where LeBron goes, you can just run the LeBron offense, give him the ball at the top of the key, let him do everything. In football, you could do the same with Peyton Manning. I used to take a little issue with the fact that he never got criticized as an offensive coordinator. He only got praised, right? It was like, oh, Peyton Manning's like a coach on the field. But when they lost, they blamed the actual coach and not Peyton Manning the coach. You know, they only credited Peyton Manning the coach. He never got any of the blame. But nevertheless, he was a one-man offense. You put him at quarterback, he was directing everything. You ran the Peyton Manning offense. And I don't know if, you know, I feel that same way about Drew Brees. That's kind of an intangible thing. The only tangible way that can be measured is wins, where Peyton Manning did have more success than Brees. But, you know, could Brees change that with one more Super Bowl? It's interesting. I think that's why there's so many people calling about it, because I do think Brees exists in this strange area where he gets recognized because of what he does and those statistical achievements, but I don't know if he's actually respected to the same degree, if people actually believe it. Do you believe in Brees like that? Do you believe Brees is better than Peyton Manning? 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. And of course, you know, Brees passed Tom Brady. He's broken Peyton Manning number for touchdown passes. He's higher in completion percentage, higher in yards. I mean, he's got the numbers. There's no question about that. I mean, that's not up for debate. His place is, however. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.